Look at that. Brother giving brother money to get in the offering. Ain't that awesome? He's taking his hand, shaking it out. I know, baby. Hard, let it go. I know. Good morning, Mr. Jerry. How are you doing today? Good to see you. Well, I'm glad you're with us this morning. We've got a really good message from the Lord this morning about I will rise. And I want to talk about that because the devil wants to keep us down. The devil wants to keep us defeated. The devil wants to keep us discouraged. The devil wants to keep us in fear. The devil wants to keep us bound. But we, church, can rise from the ashes of our defeat, from the ashes of past mistakes, from the ashes of past pain. We can rise just as God calls our name. And there was a day that God called your name and he called you out and says, I'm yours. Will you rise and accept what I'm offering you? I love that song. I think it's a beautiful song, a great testament of our future, that death doesn't hold us and the grave doesn't keep us. But then when God calls our name, I'm not talking about when he calls it at our last breath. I'm talking about when he calls us unto salvation, that we rise at that moment from death. We rise that moment from hell. We rise that moment from any separation from God. We rise from that moment. And so we have a generation of people that are so defeated and so discouraged and so bound and seeking solace in something other than the truth. Seeking solace in the devil's lies and the devil's deceit and the devil's temptation and the devil's way. You know, I was talking to Randy about it before service, how that as a pastor, and I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just trying to be real this morning. It seems that when people are facing trials and storms, for some reason they just can't come to church anymore. And I've never can grasp that concept of why we give up church when we're going through something. I know what it is. It's the enemy. You know, I text someone this week, hasn't been here in many, many months, and they were a very regular part of our church, and I text them, reaching out, saying, you know what, we love you, and I hope you get back in church in 2016. And this person didn't even respond to me. This is a person I never would have thought would not respond to me, never even responded to me. And so I know this person must be in a place of whatever, guilt or shame or the devil's maybe a rebellion, I don't know. But I don't understand that when we are down, why church seems to be the thing we don't want to do. I don't want to go to church. Why? That's the trick of the enemy. Because it is the word. It is the people of God. It is his presence, his anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. It's when we need church the very most. It's when we need to be in the house of God every time the doors are open to get what we need from God. So don't listen to those lies and stay down, but rise up from what the enemy has tried to press you into. Because there is no situation that God's hand can't deliver you from. There is no sickness God can't heal you from. There is no bondage God can't set you free from. If we will allow him to pick us up when he calls our name and says, yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I'll rise. Yes, Lord, I will not stay where I've always been. I'm tired of being where I've always been. I'm tired of living a gutter life. I'm tired of being in the ditch. It's time for me again to rise up and be what you called me to be. It's kind of like this. Most of us, not all people, I know there's many that don't, but there's a lot of us that raise our kids the right way. Not perfect, but the right way. We raise them with values and with morals and with respect. And many of us raise them in believing to fear the Lord and to follow God and serve him. And we give them our values. Well, as we know, a lot of times our kids don't do what we've raised them to do. And what's something we say as a parent? I raised you better than that. I raised you better than how you're living. And that is a true statement. You know what? God can say the same thing. I've raised you for more than this. I've raised you to live beyond what you're living. I've raised you to live above what you are allowing in your life to pull you down. I've taught you better than that. I've spoken into your life more than that. I have led you different than that. I've been there for you more than that. So hear the voice of God and let Him raise you up and become more than what you've ever been before. And live above the fray. Live above the storm. Live above the bondage. Live above the lies of the devil. And don't let that pull you down. Look what Psalms 1 says, chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. God hears us. I'm thankful for that. Don't let your mind or the devil tell you, God don't hear me. I prayed, Pastor, and nothing changes. Understand, maybe nothing is changed because the change has to be you changing. See, your circumstance can't change until you change. Because if we keep doing what we've always done, we're always going to get what we always got. It's just how life is. So maybe the change is not a mountain being moved as much as something in you being moved. God moving you into something different. It means we take a step out and we say, God, move me, because I don't like who I've become. I don't like where I'm at. And I know you've got better plans for me. So what do I need to do? And allow God to move you into a different realm in a different direction. And it may mean we go through a lot of rough times before we get there. But during those rough times, God is moving us and moving us and moving us into a different direction. We don't like going through storms. No one does. But through those storms, we do learn a lot of things. Through those storms, we do gain strength. Through those storms, we do gain wisdom. Because it's called life. You know, I might not know as much as Michael about technology. May not be as smart at calculus, smart at science. May not can spell all the words he can spell. But one thing I am smarter than Michael in, life. Because I've experienced it. I've been there. And through the life lessons I've learned as a young man to now a not a so young a man, but not an old man. I've learned life lessons. And I could tell Michael, you may know what X minus Y divided by Z 364HZ to the second power is. But buddy, I can tell you this. Don't get a scornful woman. I can tell you this. Pay your bills on time and keep good credit. What does credit mean? It's going to mean a lot in about 10 more years. 5 more years. It's going to mean a lot. I can give him life lessons that matter because I've learned from them. I've been married for 24 years. I know my wife less today than I did 24 years ago. You go through many years of marriage, and I've been there, and I've done that, and I've had arguments, and we've had fights, and we've had disagreements. Melanie doesn't always see it my way. I don't always see it her way. But through those years, we've learned and we've grown as a couple. And we've learned what's really important. And the fellowship has grown deeper and the commitment has grown deeper through those years. Our walk with God is kind of the same. We're going to go through rough patches because we get on the wrong road. We think God's not hearing us. God's not helping us. That we're in this place that God just doesn't care, but He does. And if we'll listen to the voice of God and trust Him and wait patiently on Him, as the psalmist says, and cry unto God, He will hear us. He may not give us the answer we want to hear right now, but He will hear us and He will answer us. And sometimes that answer is what we don't want to hear. That answer is something that we know we must change but don't want to let go enough to change. But until we allow God to change us, then our circumstances will not change. Verse 2, he says this. He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet again up on a rock, and He established my goings. You ever been in a pit that you felt trapped? Joseph was in a pit, and God rescued him. Joseph was in prison, and God rescued him. Daniel was in a lion's den, and God rescued him. Samson was stripped of his eyesight and used as a mockery and a teasing as a game, and yet God showed him the power one more time and said, God, help me. Show these people who you really are, that you are the one Lord God. And he put his hand on those pillars, and the power of God came on him one last time as he destroyed thousands of lives in that moment of the enemy, because God showed up, because God rescued Samson. God brought him in his last breath out of the horrible pit and once again established him up on a rock. God wants us to rise out of the place we are at. We weren't destined to be miserable and broken and defeated. We were destined to be more than conquerors through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And it's allowing that strength to become our strength. I think that's where the real revelation is, that we got to allow God's strength to become our strength. And when God's strength becomes our strength, then we truly are strong. But we're not strong with our own abilities. And we're not strong separating the powers. Well, God, you're strong. And I'm kind of strong in my own way. And we try to get, no, I've got to allow the strength of God to become the strength of me. And when that happens, things begin to change. All of a sudden, my mouth changes. The words I speak change. My mindset changes. My attitude changes. Everything changes when I'm allowing God to be my strength. Because there are things that we can't control. And there are times that we go through that only the strength of God gets us through, not our strength. We may think we have it all together. We may think life, you know, can throw anything at us and we'll just, but all of us have moments of desperation. We have moments of fear, moments of anxiety, moments of frustration, moments of anger, moments of guilt, moments of shame, moments of darkness. We all experience that. We've all been in that pit. At some point, all of us, church, have been in some kind of pit that we saw no escape and no way out. And we wonder if we were better gone than here. But God said, I'll bring you out of that pit. And I'll set your feet again solid. And I will establish, I will direct your goings. I will give you clear direction on where to go if you'll let me. I'll lead you and I'll guide you. That's what he wants to do. Lead and guide our lives. Look at verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Don't we need that? Oh, we need a new song. A fresh breath. A new awakening. A spiritual revival. We need something fresh in our lives where the enemy has made everything stale. We need a new song. And that song is, I am the redeemed, and I will say so as the Lord told me to say. I am a child of God, and my situation doesn't change that. I am what God called me to be, and my circumstances that try to rob me of that does not change who God said that I am. I am who God said I am, the beloved of the Lord, a child of the King, bought with the price, the redeemed of the Lord. I am what God said that I am, and nothing can ever change that relationship or that fact that ever comes in my life. So we walk like we're children of God, and we talk like we're children of God, and we believe that we're children of God because we know who we serve. And man, if we know who we serve, there is nothing impossible with God. Nothing. And I know that we are in a desperate time, and there are many things happening around us, and there's many things that will pull us down and many things that can discourage us, many dark places. And, you know, the local church is under much attack as a whole because more and more people are not using that as part of their lives, thinking it's not important. And that's a trick of the enemy to get us out of hearing the Word of God. Without that Word of God, we are hopeless. Without that Word of God, we are helpless. Without that Word of God, there is no strength, there is no joy, there is no peace. So we keep on going. We keep pressing. Paul says, I keep pressing toward the prize, toward the mark, toward that high calling. I keep pressing. Paul understood the vision before him. Now, Paul suffered, church. I mean, we get a headache or a cold or, you know, we get a little, something happens in our lives and we just get all unraveled. Paul was beaten half to death multiple times for the cause of Christ. I mean beaten. He was imprisoned. He was stoned to death almost. But yet he kept going. He kept pressing. He kept saying, I keep before me the prize. I keep before me what's important. I keep before me the dying of my Lord Jesus always, reminding him of the importance of his walk and the importance of what Christ had done for him and the importance of his future. Because we have a future, all of us, is going to give way one day. This present will yield itself to our future. And when he calls our name in our last breath, we will fully see the glory of God. And it'll all be worth the journey and all worth the pressing and all worth the standing and all worth the serving to see that prize at the very end. It's worth the journey. There's nothing to go back to, church. The world has nothing to give you but heartache and ruin. The world has nothing to give you. The world cannot give you peace. I don't care how much money. I was reading, I meant to print it off and didn't, but I'm going to read it one Sunday. Steve Jobs' last words. You ever read his last words before he died? Sound a lot like King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. He talked about how all the money he had made, and now he lies here at death's door. And it reminded me so much of Ecclesiastes. What he really was saying was, it's kind of vanity. I want to break in some time and read it. A man that was money. A genius of his time. But yet his money could not stop death. His money could not stop disease. His money couldn't buy healing. And his money couldn't buy salvation. What's really important in life is rising and becoming what God called us to be. Because stuff wears off. That's why there are people that have so much money, they'll have little hobbies they'll do, and they'll get tired of it and go to something else, get tired of it, go to something else, get tired of it. You know why? Because they're never satisfied. It fills them for a little bit, but they get restless. Well, I need something else. I need something else. And they bounce from thing to thing to try to find some kind of satisfaction. When you find peace in God, you found everything. There's nothing more satisfying than being filled with His Spirit. Nothing. Because you realize when your money goes away, you still got God. Lose your job, you still got God. Lose your family, you still got God. And in the end, that's who we're going to see. We're going to spend a lot more time with God in eternity than we do here with each other in the earth. Much more time. So seek that which is important. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. People will see your life being risen from the ashes. They will see you being restored, lifted up and lifted out, and they'll see God in that. And they'll say, how can you sing a new song in an old world? How can you sing such a beautiful song of light in a world of darkness? How can you be so happy when I'm so miserable? I don't like that. Don't let the misery bulldogs this generation pull you up with them. Be happy. As the old 80s song said, right? Don't worry. Be happy. Even if someone stole your bed and have nowhere to lay your head, don't worry. Be happy. We as Christians should walk in eternal joy. Because joy is not based on whether I had a good day or a bad day. Joy is based on who lives inside of us. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not based on if I lose my job. Why I ain't got it. No. Joy doesn't leave us. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy remains. When sorrow tries to come, joy should overpower that and remind us, no, you've got the joy of the Lord. That's where your strength is at. And the reason we are weak is because we've lost the joy of the Lord, the joy of being saved, the joy of serving God, the joy of knowing God lives in us, the joy of knowing I'm on my way to heaven and the journey gets sweeter every day. Having that joy. Peace, something else that should not ever leave us. I know the devil tries to rob us of our peace. We lose sleep at night. We stay awake all night long. We have tormenting dreams and we're restless and we're worried and we're always worried about what ifs and what about tomorrow and what if this don't work out. But if we have the fruit of the Spirit of peace, that remains too. So I'll rise from my lack of peace. I'll rise from my lack of joy, and I'll embrace it again, and I'll walk in it. And I mean by walking, we live in it. We should live in a state of peace. When all hell breaks loose, the peace speaker says, "Peace, be still." And it calms our soul. It calms our thoughts. It calms our spirit. It's like a mother settling their child down when they're afraid. When they have a bad dream and they cry out in the middle of the night, mama comes in there and gets in bed and holds them and says, I'm okay. I won't leave you until you fall back asleep. You're safe. That's what God does. He holds us. You're safe. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Don't worry about what you see in the world. You're not of that world. Remember, you're in my kingdom. I've got you covered. I've got you protected. I've got you surrounded. The God of angel armies goes with you. It goes before you and behind you and around you. I am in you and I am with you, and I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So peace I give you, not just for a moment, but for eternity. You should live in peace because we're Christ. And man, that's what the world needs to see, us living in that peace. How can you be in peace? How can you have joy? How can you still have faith? I mean, man, all the things that happened in your life, how can you still have faith? Mr. Williams is not here this morning, but Mr. Williams has had many health issues through his life. He shared with me. He's had heart attack. He's had quadruple bypass surgery. He's fought cancer two or three different times. He's got a heart issue going on now. He has had all kinds of health issues. He had his first heart attack when he is in his 40s. He's had health issues for most of his adult life. Well, from his 40s on, health issues. You know what? He's not one time ever told me or complained. I don't know why, you know, God. Every time we talk about it, he said, boy, God brought me through. And God, I've seen God, and I should have been dead. He stopped breathing a few months ago, and they had to bring him back to life in the hospital. Stopped breathing when he had that last procedure. But he doesn't give any credit to the devil, or he doesn't walk around in misery. You know what he does? He always, every time I talk to him, gives God glory. He's not lost his joy. He said, I'm alive because God wants me alive. He brought me through. And though I've been through a lot, I'm still walking. I'm still here. I still woke up on this side. I'm still in the land of the living. He just talks that way, giving God glory. You know why? Because when you know who you belong to, there is nothing that can rob you of that peace and that joy and that comfort. Because no matter what happens to us, we're with God. If I don't wake up tomorrow, I wake up in the breath of the presence of a holy God. Man, that gives us peace to walk this earth and realize that I am his and he is mine. And so I will not be defeated. I will not let the enemy keep me down, reminding me of all the things I don't have or all the things God hasn't done for me. My Lord, what has God done for us? We are here. We are alive. We have family. We have love. We have health. Even if we're not as healthy, we still have health of some type because you're here today. I thought about my grandma. I sent her a pull up this morning. And I'm like, people, I'll be ashamed of themselves. My 84-year-old grandma drove here this morning. And other people was like, I don't know if I should get out or not. My 84-year-old grandmother drove out, huh? 80 what? Well, I'm rounding up. Excuse me, grandma, 83. You women never change. 83. But here she is, drove. I mean, if anybody had an excuse to stay home, then her. Right, she's 83. That ain't dead, but that's getting pretty old. 83. And I seen her pull up, like, that's my grandma coming this morning. We got folks, worried about the roads. I mean, my goodness, gracious, gracious. It made me smile when you pull up, grandma. It really did. We need to hear what God has to say to us before we can ever grow or change. And we hear by hearing the word of God, hearing what he says to us. And he wants us to rise and become what he's called us to be. Each one of us have gifts. We have talents. We have abilities. And I'm sure Stacy is very anxious to see what Michael will become as a man. What will you be? You know, what's going to be your job? What are you going to achieve in life? Who knows? you know. My son put on Facebook, give peace a try, Jamie Lewis, president 2050. 35 years from now. I'll be with the Lord probably. I don't know. But I'm just saying, we can be whatever God has destined us to be. Because each of us are not tapping in to the resources truly God's given us. We all have something God's called us to be. Don't stay pressed down. Go to the next scripture. This is in Jeremiah chapter 31. And this is talking about Israel is going to be restored again. That Israel was, you know, taken captive, and they were kind of in ruins, and they weren't the country or the nation that God wanted them to be at this time. But he gives them a promise here in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared unto old unto me, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Let that sink in. God loves us with an everlasting love. That means that's the love that doesn't end. It doesn't even end based on our stupidity. It doesn't end based on our rebellion. It doesn't end based on our sin. It doesn't end based on our failures or mistakes. God loves us with an everlasting love. Therefore, look at this. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. We got a lot of people still trying to get people saved through the remedy of the teaching of the fear of hell. But Jesus draws us through love and kindness. He doesn't draw us through fear of hell. He draws us through mercy and grace. He draws us through loving kindness. He draws us, reminding us, I loved you with an everlasting love. I formed you, as he told Jeremiah earlier, I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you by name. I called you and ordained you for a purpose such as this. And each one of us in our mother's womb, God had a plan and seen us and knew what our future would be. And he's with us to guide us, to help us achieve that. He doesn't want us to stay defeated. He's given us too much to be defeated. He has drawn us everlasting love. Again, I will build you, talking to Israel. You shall be built, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with tabrets. You shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. I'm going to build you back up. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make you merry again, because I'm not done. You're going to rise again. You're going to rise. You know, I love the Rocky movies. I'm a big Rocky fan. And I, you know, they had a Rocky marathon a few weeks ago, and I watched a couple of them. And the thing I think everybody loves about Rocky is he always rose back up. I mean, he'd get the, you know, living stuffing knocked out of him, and he'd bounce back off that mat. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. And just he just kept on coming back. My favorite one was the Russian Rocky, where he fights the big Russian dude. And they're in Moscow, and they're fighting. And all of a sudden, the crowd begins to change their chant. You start hearing a few in the Russian tongue, Rocky, 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 Rocky. And all of a sudden, in a foreign country, Rocky's name is being declared, because he has shifted the tide because of his heart. Because this Russian was like 7 foot tall, 400 pounds or whatever. It's like David and Goliath. They said in the movie, it's like a David and Goliath match. But Rocky kept coming back, and he hung in there. And I love when the Russian said, he's not, what is it? He's not man. He's like hitting a piece of steel or something. I'm like, you know, like, awesome. I love it. He kept coming back up. He rose from the mat and refused to be defeated. You know why? Because he had the eye of the tiger, baby. Eye of the tiger. Ashley was doing cross country last year. And, you know, children are really weird, right? Because they don't want to be embarrassed, but they want you there to support them. So you're like, okay. I mean, thank God I'm not Larry Blevins. He would run with Harley around the whole track. I mean, run with her and cheer her on. Talk about embarrassing. We would stand in one spot, wait for her to come by. And when she would come by the last couple races, I'd come out, I went, Ashley, come on, eye of the tiger, baby, eye of the tiger. She rolled them eyes at me. Don't be saying that. Don't say nothing. Well, you won't. What do you mean? No, I'm trying to cheer you on. But that's what I would say. Eye of the tiger. Come on, Ashley. Eye of the tiger. You know, motivate her to keep going. That's what God is saying. Eye of the tiger. Rise up, church. Rise up and claim who I called you to be. Though the giant looks big, I'm a lot bigger. And I have called you to victory and not defeat. Hallelujah. That's what God's called us to. Live a life of victory because you're saved. And yes, being saved is enough. Because when you are saved, you get all the gifts that come with that. All of them, church. It's like I've said this before. Think about this. When we receive Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we don't receive part of Him. We receive all of Him. Jesus is the resurrected King of Kings. And the Bible says the same power that raised Him from the dead now lives in us. Think about that power. The same power that the grave clothes couldn't hold and the tomb couldn't keep sealed. The same power that called Him out of the depths of death live inside of us. So we too have eternal life, which means the tomb shouldn't keep us sealed and our grave clothes shouldn't keep us bound. But we should come out of that and be set free and walk as children of the living God. Glory to God. This is good preaching for a snowy Sunday. Thou shalt plant vines up on the mountains of Samaria, and the planter shall plant and eat them as common things. In other words, I'm going to replenish what's been destroyed. I'm going to give back life where death has been. You're going to be fed and filled and blessed again. Then he goes on to say in verse 6. Oh, I'm sorry. Thou shalt plant vines. Oh, I just read that. Go to the next one. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. And that's what he's telling us, arise. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them. That's all right. I will bring them somewhere. Anybody in Jeremiah 31? There we go. One more. There we go. I will bring them from the north country. You Yanks. I will gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame and the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return. God is saying, I'm going to call them out from all walks of life, all places of life. I'm going to call them out and restore a nation. Now, he's talking to Israel, yes, but it's also is very relevant to us today that God's got a remnant in the earth that right now look like they're bound with darkness. There's no hope. But all it takes, and this is why we pray for those that are lost, the ones we love, all it takes is that voice of God calling their name. All it takes is them hearing God's voice saying, arise from the place you're in. Arise from your ashes, son or daughter. Arise from your circumstances. Arise from your sin. Arise from all that you've been. I've got something more for you. I've got something better for you. Man, God's got such a better plan for us than we ever make for ourselves. And God has so much more that we don't walk in or operate in that we could. Remember God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not just something we use in expression. The Holy Spirit should be our life. It lives in us. We have strength and power far beyond the earthly realm because Christ lives in us. And we are to walk in victory. If I got another verse. That's it. That's what I thought. I will rise. Time to rise. You're not happy where you're at? Say, God, change me so my situation will change. Change me so my circumstance will change. Change me, God. It starts with us. It starts letting God change us. Letting God use us. Letting God set us free. I will rise when he calls my name. I'm so thankful God called my name as a child. And I'm so thankful God keeps calling my name, that God keeps talking to me, that God keeps speaking to me. Not to hear the voice of God, for God to be silent, to not be able to feel his presence, would be a most miserable thing. I'm thankful that God called me, he still calls me, and I'm thankful that one day I'll hear that final call, and I'll see the hand of God ushering me into my reward. There's something so special about that time, to where a saint of God gets his reward. This earth passes so quickly. Years roll by, and before you know it, half your life's over. It just doesn't take long. It's hard to believe me and Mel have a 21-year-old child. You know, I mean, you just think, I mean, gosh, I got a 21-year-old. I still feel like, I mean, I was younger than that, and I got married. And I got a kid that old. That's just, doesn't seem possible. And I know it doesn't possible for my parents to say they got a, you know, 40-something child. Probably hard to believe. And grandma's like, my Lord, I got a 60-some-year-old child, you know? And then Von Seal, and I'm like, I'm just saying, to think about, to say that, I mean, man, time just goes on. I'm sure in grandma's mind, many years ago, she was at home with grandpa, and the girls were little, and she's cooking biscuits in the kitchen, and they're going to revival all week long, and taking the girls, you know, getting the girls on the school bus, and all that. And that probably don't seem like that long ago in her mind. And here she is now. Wow, how time goes. And so thankful we know the end result for our lives as Christians. We don't have to wonder what happens next. We know what happens next. We are in the presence of God forever. What a great, great reward that is. Hallelujah. Margie, you got something to come up and play for us in closing? I want to thank y'all for being here with us this morning. Thanks for making the trip out. Hope you were blessed and encouraged by the word. And hopefully we'll get any more snow on Sundays. Stand on your feet with me if you would. Let's want to say a prayer with the church before we go this morning. Lord, you called us for more. You called us to live more. You called us to walk in more. We are your children. And so many times, God, we allow the enemy to dictate our lives, to dictate our mood, to dictate our decisions. We let the enemy fill our mouth with wrong words, our mind with wrong thoughts. It is time for us to rise, God, for us to rise again and walk in what you've called us to walk in. Lord, I pray for those in this building right now that are bound and shackled by strongholds, that are in the pile of ashes right now that can't seem to come out. They don't know how to rise up. God, I pray you move upon them now by your Holy Spirit. God, that your anointing will sweep this sanctuary. Fill this place, Jesus, with your presence. And let them rise from where they are at and call them out to a higher place. Let the shackles fall, Lord. Let depression flee. Let discouragement be overcome by your grace and by your mercy. Let healing come to where sickness is trying to take a hold. I pray for minds, hearts, and souls today, Jesus. Just breathe a fresh breath of your anointing in this place and resurrect us, Lord, from the depths of darkness. Resurrect us, Jesus. Give us hope again, joy again, peace again, strength for another day. To know, God, that we are yours and you are ours forevermore. And we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about any of y'all, but I so felt the presence of God just sweep in. It's just incredible right there. His presence just sweep in the room. It's a beautiful thing to feel the presence of God. Just let his presence change you. Don't be afraid of that. To let his presence change you. That's what that should be our desire. God, I really want to be what you want me to be. And it may be a hard thing to swallow sometimes, but God, I want your will in my life to be done. Y'all can be seated. Ushers, if you can come up, receive our offering this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for our offering this morning as we give as an act of obedience and love to your work. Lord, I pray that you give us a desire to give and support your work. Know what we're doing, God, that we are definitely sowing seeds into an eternal purpose. Bless the seed and bless every hand that sows, and we give you praise and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.